It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Golf DMV, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. You don't have to pay attention to that website. You can just go to golfdmvpodcast.com.
That's right.
All things Golf DMV right there. By the way, you know, it's fall in the DMV. You should get these hats, these knit hats. It's got Golf DMV on the front. We've got blue ones. We've got black ones. Pick it up now for your fall golf pleasure. LB is on location somewhere else. We'll have more on that. Vern's in studio. Vern, what's up?
What's happening?
And we've got LB. LB, explain to everybody where you are exactly.
Okay, I am in Florida at a place called The Villages. Mm-hmm. It is a retirement community, 55 and over. It is the mecca of golf. They have over, I think the number right now is standing at 40 or 41 nine-hole executive courses and 13 championship golf courses.
Wow. So you can pretty much find any kind of golf you want there.
Yes, I play golf every day I've been here. If I didn't play, I went to the range. So wow. I'm getting it in.
So
I'm getting my money's worth.
Explain to people, why are you at the Villages? Like, you call this retirement practice.
Yeah. That's basically what I'm doing. I am practicing retirement. you know, I only have a few. If things go well, let me say this. If things stay as they are, mm-hmm. I'll retire in 3.4 years.
Nobody's counting.
I'm working to reduce that number.
Okay.
and so you've done some research and the Villages popped up high on that list.
Yeah. We haven't looked at a ton of places, but we looked up and down the East Coast. We don't want to go north. I mean, who would want to go north of Washington? I don't know.
Right.
So we've basically looked south. Florida, you know, some of the Georgia, you know, even South Carolina a little bit. I've done research out west. I haven't gone to look at anything out west, but I've looked at stuff online out west. And there really is no place in the United States, and actually, and I'd almost say probably the world, that has the activities, the resources, the layout, the lifestyle that this place called The Villages can offer in retirement. I mean, I tell people this all the time. I hate to sound like I'm trying to sell a place, almost like an infomercial. They really need to pay me for the amount of time I talk about this place.
I mean, really, it's all the time, people. I play golf with them. Don't let them meet somebody new who's in his age group.
Want to retire? Go to The Villages.
But I was talking to the guys on the golf course the other day, and I was telling them, you know,
residents and retired or?
Yes.
Okay.
So far I've played with some quick math. I've played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different people. I think I've played with so far.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the 8, only one was not a retiree.
Okay, so you're making new friends. Go right ahead. So go ahead. You said you've been talking to people,
Yeah, everybody's been cool. I mean, this is, and, you know, a lot of people have warned me, and I'll say qualify that, people who have not been here before have qualified, you know, tried to scare me. Oh, you know, it's Trump country down there. I'm like, yeah, well, we got Trump supporters everywhere, you know. There's a house, the house that we're renting, two doors down, there's a house that has a big Trump 2020 flag in their yard, you know, with the American flag and the Trump 2020 flag in it. So I made a point one day when I saw him to give him a big high wave as I rolled past his house.
Okay, an actual wave or like the TK salute?
No, I gave him a real wave. Okay. I didn't give him the TK salute, just a regular high neighbor wave.
Okay.
With a big smile on my face, like, I know I just made your day.
Yeah, there goes the neighborhood.
Exactly. But it is a beautiful place. You really have to, when you all out there that are over 50 or 55 and over or about to be 55, it is really worth, especially if you're a golfer, it is worth checking out. And if you just like to be or want to be active in your retirement and not just sitting around playing bingo every day, this is the kind of place you really want to investigate. And just to note, Coach D and his wife are here as well. They came in on Wednesday night. Wednesday night they came in. what's the Thursday? Yeah, Wednesday night. And they did a tour yesterday of the property. When I say property, it's bigger than D.C.
So, wow, the entire the villages, like the entire place, community is bigger than the city of Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And absolutely.
For some context for the listeners, when LB says, you know, he's practicing retirement, before we went live here, he picked up the phone. You know, Claude and I were expecting him to answer with all this pep and energy because he was so excited about this trip. And he kind of was like, "Hey, what's up, guys?" You know, we asked him, was like, "Well, what's the deal, man?" And the thing that he said made me laugh. He was like, "Well, you know, the sun drains you down here." So, in an effort to practice, he's already becoming Florida man already,
right?
You know, Floridized, right, if you will. Where I could just picture LB just slowing down the longer he stays down there, right, to the point rounds decrease, and then one day he's just sitting on his porch, just sitting outside, soaking up the sun,
waving to people as they go by.
Yep. So retirement practice in full effect.
Absolutely. Now, it's funny, LB, yeah, and we'll get some of the golf in the villages in a second, but, you know, I was talking to my wife, Sierra, about the show this week. I don't know if she cared, and I was just talking to her about it. And then I said, well, LB's going to be checking in from the villages, and she asked, you know, well, what's the villages? So I explained it to her, and she was like, huh, you know, LB and Brenda, they don't really catch me as retirement community people.
Agreed.
Like, what?
Agreed.
What was your thought behind, like, well, let me just find a place where we can go, as opposed to just retiring wherever you wanted to retire?
Yeah, well, so my biggest thing in retirement is I want to be active. I mean, I've always been active, and I don't want to, because, you know, you hear those stories about people that retire and then 6 months later, a year, they did.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that statistic. And there's too many things that I want to do, you know, that I honestly don't have time to do now because of a full-time job. There are just so many activities here, and one of the nicknames this place has is Disney World for adults. It is immaculately maintained as far as the landscaping. You know, there's no trash. I mean, you don't even see cigarette butts. You know what I mean? It's ridiculously clean. The people are super nice. They have golf. You don't drive your car. Mostly, you drive your golf cart to go to the grocery store, to wherever you're going, to happy hour, which is every day here.
Yep.
starts at 11. Right.
Yes, kind of it does. Like, I went to a restaurant a couple of days ago. We went for lunch, and we got there, and it was like, I don't know, 12:15, and it was already drink specials.
How early does breakfast start? 5:30 in the morning?
Well, what I found too, people are not getting, you know, normally people would say about old people, you know, they get up when the sun comes up,
pretty much,
and they go to bed before the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
That is not true here. People here don't, like the golf courses in the morning are pretty crowded. But the, you know, when I look outside, you don't really see people too much moving around and stuff. I was waking up early when I first got here, but now I'm sleeping in a little bit more myself. I do believe it's just the sun wearing me out.
See, I'm already not adjusted.
Used to all this sun like this.
So how long is it until you start wearing sandals with black socks? And your cargo shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Right. We were shopping the other night, and I was looking at some shorts, and they had, you know, the Izod store had those, the shorts with the, well, they are, I call them cargo pants. They, you know, the newer ones, they don't have the big pocket on the outside. I guess the pocket is actually on the inside. So all you see is a seam where that cargo pocket would be. And right. I pulled them out because I really like the color. Then I saw the pocket, like, nope, not wearing them. Sorry.
almost got you.
almost sucked me in.
Oh, man. Well, good. So let's talk a little bit about the golf. Now, how many nine-hole executive courses and championship courses you said?
So it's 40. I think that they're continuing to build here. So, I mean, they've just starting to build a whole new development a little bit to the south of where we are now. And mm-hmm. I believe the number right now is like 41-ish on the executive courses.
Wow.
And the championship courses, I believe, is stuck at 12, either 12 or 13 that they are right now. So the way they do it, championship courses are all basically just nine-hole, you know, full-length nine-hole courses, because most of the championship courses have three nine-holes, you know, at their disposal.
Okay.
So when I played the other day, I played at Evans Prairie Country Club, and they have three 9-hole, four length, par 36 courses.
And so essentially, if I'm thinking like Compass Point, where they've got four 9-hole, exactly. And so you just they pair you up on two different 9-hole courses.
Right. Okay. And the one of the interesting too, they have like 6 tee boxes. So they're stretching out to, 35, like I'm looking at my card now, Killdeer, which was one I played the other day. The tips is 35, 86. The Osprey was 34, 39. Wow. And the Egret was 34, 66. So, you're talking to 7,000 yards from the tips, courses. So, it's been cool. So, one of the interesting things for me is that, I usually just, so the other day when I played with a couple, actually three people, their names, I wrote them down. It was Pam, Larry, and Dave, right? Okay. And so Pam, female, she played from, from up front, and Larry and Dave played from the white. So when I pulled up and, we talking and introduced ourselves and all that stuff, and they say, she said, where you want to play from? I said, I don't care. I'll play from wherever everybody else is playing from. She said, well, these guys are playing from the whites. I said, okay, fine. I'll do that. So the whites is 28-30. Okay. So just under,
5,600?
Yeah, for 9 holes.
Right. Okay.
Right. So I said, fine. I'll play from there. So after the first couple of holes, I drove them by about 70 yards. And so she came back to me. She said, don't you want to think you want to move back one?
And was like, did you say, absolutely not. I'm playing from right here.
Exactly. That's basically what I said. I said, well, I'm working through some swing changes, so I'm fine playing from here.
Yeah. Yeah, tell her mind her business. No. Hopefully Pam will be listening to if she can email in golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. Review your rounds, the courses you played, conditions, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, how'd you do, man?
Okay, so the first one I played one of the executive courses. This was called Sweet Gum. And I played with two guys. I gave them my card too, so they might be listening. Sherman and Don. They're both retirees. They've been here, I think they've been down here around 7 years or so. Now, one of the things that I have, I'm happy about is that everybody that I played with, except for one guy, and I'll get to him in a minute, has been very, very low key. I mean, they are out here. You know how we stress, me. I stress over a shot and I get upset and I'm cussing at myself when I make a bad shot and all those things. None of that happens here. Hmm. None of that. Everybody here is, so far, again, except for one guy who I'll talk about in a minute, they out here to have fun. This is their form of exercise, form of recoration, form of socializing.
Right.
So, the guys I played with yesterday, when I pulled up and, we're talking and everything, and the guy says, look, he said, we're out here to have fun. We might drop 2 or 3 balls. We're not keeping score. We don't play by any rules. we just out here to have fun. Mm-hmm. So far, everybody has had that attitude, except for this one guy I'll get to in a minute.
Okay. Before you get to him, do you find yourself, after a few days of doing that, do you find yourself wanting to adopt that mentality in your game? I'm just out here to have fun.
Yeah. Because I find that golf becomes fun again when you're not worrying. I've been keeping score just because I'm still anal like that. I haven't totally given up on it. But but it's a lot. The rounds are a lot more fun when the people around you are relaxed, and they're not stressing. So that kind of rubbed off on me in a lot of ways. So my wife went with me one of the rounds. Then I went, she just rode, and even she was saying how relaxing it was, even watching us play, because they were just so relaxed, not caring, just talking about anything and everything. You hit the ball in the water, everybody giggles. You pull out another ball, and you keep it moving. Right.
I think what's happening there is when you get close to the end, you can't.
when the things that matter in life actually starts to decline, and that list gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know what? Who needs to keep scoring? That's
all right. But, you know, LB, it's funny because I remember maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago, the Golf Channel did this whole segment on buddy rules and like the rules that people have when they're playing with their crew. And some people had a rule, you know, you throw it in the sand. I mean, if it's in the sand,
right,
you take one shot. If you can get out, cool. If not, pick it up, put it out the sand trap, and don't penalize yourself. Like, but it was whatever the collective group determined. Here are the rules that we play by. I mean, there were groups that wouldn't penalize themselves for hitting in the woods. They would just drop where it went in and keep going. Right. You know, because chances are, I mean, if you're losing them every single hole off the driver, you're probably scoring a +3.
What's the point of
every hole anyway? And so that +4, +3, +2. At the end of the day, you know, look, if you want to keep every single stroke, fine. But they were saying that there are a lot of people who have these buddy rules, and even when you're putting, you know, if you can get within, you know, 2 steps of the hole, they'll count it. You know what I mean? Like, and there were folks who were tweeting and all kind of stuff into the show. I think it was Morning Drive or something. And they were tweeting in a lot of their buddy rules. So people have these things where they want the game to be more enjoyable. And I think it almost gets to, like, our whole theory about playing from the forward tees is that when you do things like that and you give yourself a shot at a decent score, knowing the kind of handicap you're giving yourself or the privilege you're giving yourself on the course, it still doesn't make it less enjoyable. I mean, you still like seeing, well, that was an 86. Yes. That was an 85. You know what I mean? Even though, you know, I was playing from 57.
Yep.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, real quick, LB, too, that to Claude's point and your point, at, you know, golf trying to grow the game and everything else, this will only benefit them because the more enjoyable you make it for the average Joe, which is where most of your money's coming from for the Saturdays, the more people are going to go out and do it.
Right.
Like, you need to go out and keep rigorous, like you said, every stroke. People are going to be like, you know, and this is going to take 4 hours? And no.
Yeah. And how much am I paying?
Exactly.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah.
So go right ahead. Yeah, they were playing for fun. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the courses in it is just as far as its shape. I mean, in Florida courses, everything is beautiful. They do this one thing here, but I haven't quite figured out what they have, but it's called the morning wave. So you can, and this is only for the championship courses, what I've gathered so far, because I don't think I haven't run into this on the executive courses yet, where the last tee time in the morning is 9:26 or 28. That's the last tee time you can get up in the, so you can get from like 7, whatever time sunrise is until not basically 9:30 in the morning, and then they stop.
What happens at
the next tee times are,
that's
right around noon and go forward. So I don't know what that siesta in the middle is for. You know,
I was saying, I think it's for nap time for all you retirees.
Been in the sun 2 hours, well, go back to your house
early. And for those who sleep in late, then the late birds come in at noon or something. Maybe so.
Okay.
So but that's one little quirk that I found here. Even with the executive courses, I played one twice, well, one and a half, because we played it the first day we got here, and we got to like hole number 4, and the skies opened up, and everybody left. So I went back and finished playing that one. That's why I played the day with Sherman and Don Waterman. And Don gave me his card because he said, hey, if I have questions about the Villages or anything in general about Villages, he would be a wealth of information. So he even gave me his card.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everybody's been really friendly. I've given a couple people cards to the podcast. Actually, Don and Sherman have cards for the podcast. So I told them to listen because I would shout them out. Nice guys. We talked everything about the Villages, and it was a nice little round with them. And that round, because I'm still keeping score, even though I probably shouldn't. I was +6 on the executive. I had 1, 2, 3, 4 pars, and 4 bogeys and 1 double bogey, which was on the par 4.
Okay,
there's only one par 4 on that executive, and of course I hit.
Oh, so the rest are par 3s.
Everything else is par 3s. Yeah. So most of the executive courses have maybe 1 or 2 par 4s on them in the rest of 3s. And again, same with the yardage. I mean, you can play it. I played with these guys, and the average, most time I was hitting a 9 iron or a pitching wedge. on these par threes. I don't think I ever hit anything. I take that back. There was one par three I hit an 8-iron because it was like 150 yards. So.
Oh, whoa,
but
whoa.
That was probably the longest par three that we played. Right, yeah. The par four was 345. So that was, you know, I mean, that was, that's about average, I guess, for us. But I ended up behind a tree, so that screwed me.
So this guy who you didn't have fun playing with, talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, so this guy, this group I played with, and I forget all of their names. I know the one guy's name was Bill, because I remember Bill distinctly because his ball marker said Bill.
okay.
And he was older guy. I mean, he's been here 19 years.
Good night. Oh, wow. So did he have one of those Rick McCormick golf club stands with the wire clothes hanger?
No, he did not. I've not seen any of those yet.
Really? At the retirement community. Okay.
Right. Nobody's using that.
Okay. Hear that, Rick?
So when I pulled up with these guys, you know, we do the introduction and everything. Oh, and the one guy had, this guy who had the attitude, he had on a Nats hat. So he and I, because I had my Nats hat on as well. So we bonded over baseball, you know, briefly there.
Short-lived friendship. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the other two guys, the older guys, they hit from the front on the white. And Don, whatever his guy's name, I forget his name now. But he was hitting from the blue. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'll hit from the blues too, because I hadn't hit from the blues since we've been here. That's the blues are three, basically your 6,000 yard marker.
Okay.
So I hit with him, and we were pretty close in drive distance. We were, you know, probably usually within 5 to 10 yards of each other. Sometimes I get him, sometimes he get me.
Okay.
He had a really good iron game though. So I think he birdied the first hole and maybe parred the second or whatever. Now I think I scored away my second shot or whatever. So we get to a hole, a long par three. And I say long, it was like 190 over water downhill.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so he tees up, and this was really the first bad shot he had all day. So up to this point. And he shanked it and went straight into the water. He said every cuss word there was known to man. Yeah. He slammed his club in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Started muttering to himself. Oh, no.
Very unpleasant to be around.
Right. So, it's just he and I hitting from back there. The blues, the other guys are up front, so it's just me and him back there. So I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, he's like, well, I'm going to hit another. I'm like, okay, yeah, go ahead, do your thing, man.
Is that awkward silence?
So, right, exactly. So he teases up again, and he hits this one into the street.
You should. That's what he should have said.
He's really pissed off, and then so now he's screaming, man. "I hate this course! I hate this course! I don't know why I'm playing this course! I hate this hole! I hate this course!" And then he just walks off, and he's muttering, and I'm setting up to hit my shot, and I can still hear him, you know, back in the corner. I'm just mumbling.
You should have turned around, like a little quiet on the tee box, please.
Right.
No, I think sarcasm would help. You should have been like, "Well, at least it's dry, man." Dry this time. He flipped out.
So the only other time he blew his top was we get to another hole, and it backs up to it runs along the road, which is a pretty, that was like a 4-lane road, and with some across the street was, you know, shopping and restaurants and stuff. So it was a lot of commotion going on,
right?
And some construction. So this is a par four. We get up there. We get up on the tee box, and it's his turn. As soon as he's getting ready to tee off, a dump truck or something, you know, puts on that backup, that beeping sound. Right. So he swings anyway. He tops the ball, and then he's cussing again because the truck started beeping in his backswing.
Even though he heard it before he started the swing.
Right.
Right. I'm thinking, come on, man. This is a road. I mean, we're not on the PGA. You know, come on, man.
Right, right.
So then he hits another one, and right before, no, I take that back. So he tees up again to hit the second shot, to a third shot, if he's counting.
Did somebody go out there and stop traffic so we could?
He would have liked that. So when he gets up to, he gets over his ball, and this time a dump truck goes past us, and then it's just a dump truck, you know, making dump truck noises. And he stops. Look at this. This is ridiculous. I hate this course. I hate this course. He starts that all over again.
Oh, goodness.
Like, man. So, yeah. So he walked the whole nine, too. He was going to walk 18. Yeah. So he's the only person so far that I ran into that was actually taking their golf, and I'll say, you know, quasi seriously, to the point where he was a nuisance in the, or an asshole, however you want to look at that.
Yeah, a bit of an old cuss.
Nobody says that.
I mean, he had
that.
A pretty good game, but mm-hmm. he just. So I told my wife about it, and she just kind of looked at me like, as if, well, that's how you act.
It's like, huh, I got a chance to play with Lawrence Brooks today, huh? That's funny. So villages so, all in all.
Honestly, it made me think about my behavior, too, because if that is how I act, and if it, let me start as I say, I apologize to you all that have played with me if that's how I react.
Well, I don't know if you react that way.
Yeah, not quite that bad.
You're more funny to be around than unpleasant when things kind of fall off the wagon.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, well, so all in all, you like the villages.
Oh, absolutely. So as far as my scores that I have been keeping, so I played from the whites. I played 2 nines from the whites, and I shot 46 and a 44.
Okay.
And then I played from the blues. The other day, I only played 9 from the blues the other day, yesterday, and I shot 46. So, it's the same numbers.
No matter where
you know what I mean? The distance isn't making a difference.
We talked about this. Vernon and I played Worthington, and we'll have some of that coming up on the other side of the top of the hour news for radio, and then on the other side of the commercial break for podcast. But, you know, we can talk about moving up and which tee box we're going to play from and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a different shade of the same story. It's a different shade of Allison, as Allison Krauss would say, it's another shade of miles and miles to go. It's like the score ends up usually right where it normally is. It's just that whether it's the short game, whether it's off the tee box with the driver, or whether it's mid irons, somewhere we screw it up,
right?
And we end up with the same score. But we'll talk about that a little later. We've got about a minute left in this segment. Real quick, we're going to do it is something we talked about a few months ago. We're going to do golf DMV awards. We're going to award golf courses here in the DMV, but I want to do a special category. I want to do maybe two or three just top golf courses in the DMV as, you know, voted on Golf DMV. But I want the listeners to participate in one. I want a listener's choice award. So email golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know which courses make the Golf DMV listener's choice award, and we're going to send a plaque to these courses. And so we're going to have maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 that Golf DMV says are top courses in the DMV, and we want some listeners' choices in there. Now, coming up at the top of the hour news, we'll have Worthington Manor and some PGA stuff coming up. It's Golf DMV.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Segment number 2 of Golf DMV, 1500 AM, golfdmvpodcast.com is the website. LB is in Florida at the Village. He's practicing retirement, meaning he's just kind of staying up late, playing a lot of golf, drinking a lot. Right, LB? Right. I mean, that's pretty much what the deal is, right?
Yeah, I've been to the gym twice, too, though. So I'm still trying to keep my young athletic figure. I'm going to need that for these old ladies down here.
Hold on to it for as long as you can.
Here we go. So my golf drought is over, LB. I would wait till you go to Florida, but I was able to get out and play a Wednesday morning round with Vern at Worthington Manor. I think one of you guys' favorite spot. I have never played it before.
Right.
So my thoughts on Worthington is two things. For as good of a course, a great course, right? The everything else from the bar and grill and the pro shop stuff, a little underwhelming. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yes.
Like, you walk up and you expect from a Worthington Manor, like, this kind of prestigious clubhouse and pro shop, and, you know, but it just really was like, you know, it was Patuxent Greens almost. Like, I mean, as far as the clubhouse and stuff, you know, which, by the way, I'm not a fancy person. It doesn't have to be great
for
me.
You don't have to hedge, Claude. You can say it's extra regular.
Right. It's definitely regular. But you know, at the same time, it is what it is. Now, here's the thing. So, I, of course, can't. The tee time was 8:50. I'm on my way up. I text Vern like, "Hey, I'm going to push it back to 9 because I'm going to be coming in super hot, right?" And so, you were there early and was able to go to the driving range, right, Vern?
Yeah. I got there early, and let me just Claude's leaving out some detail here. I'm going to go ahead and praise him and try to start beef in one breath. I get there, and he had paid for the round. I get up there to go check in, LB, and I was like, "Oh, look at this." And the guy's like, "Hey, you're already taken care of." Now, I mean, mysterious, maybe coincidence, it's the week you're not here. I don't know. Right, maybe exactly. Something for you guys to talk about when you get back. But no, I got there about 20 minutes early, and I thanked him. A cool movie.
Did you get range balls?
Range balls are free at Worthington. Yeah, they actually have them down there in the range in a little pyramid format. So you just take your clubs down there, and that same guy was there last time too, LB, that helped us out. The young man, super enthusiastic. Yeah. Threw my bag in the cart, out there drinking his coffee, chatting me up. Went down there and started hitting some balls on the range about 20 minutes before Clark got there, maybe 8:45.
Again, there are things you can do, DMV golf courses, and all over the country and world, to make golf a great experience. You know, for someone to be out there and help put your clubs up on a cart, that's nothing but effort from your team, from your employees, right? And then same deal with the free range balls. Literally, it costs you nothing just to give people a bucket of balls or a warm-up ball. You know what I mean? Like, you make... Food and beverage is where you make a lot of your money. Right. You know what I mean? And even on the course, you know, the course takes money. So if you charge a lot, you can get some of that money back. But for the most part, your driving range, especially if you're making a lot from the course and food and beverage, you can put that as an extra perk.
Yeah, so, 15, 20 balls.
Exactly. So how about we do that area courses? How about we get the courses to make a 2020 Golf DMV pledge to include range balls with every single round you book? And this is a Wednesday morning. Another thing about this, so I go in, I check in, there were two ladies at the restaurant, and this was 8:45 or so when I got there, fully stocked, ready to serve, and there was a young lady driving the cart around when we went out to play. And this is on a random Wednesday morning, 50-some-odd degrees, not packed at all, and yet they said a full staff, you know, ready to help folks who are out there playing.
Yeah. I mean even the, like I said, the cart... Cargo was out there. Surprised me and everything. Yeah. So, again, you could kind of check out for fall golf if you're a local golf club and maybe, you know, start reducing staff and all that. But no, not at Worthington. Everybody out there.
Everybody's out there. So now about the course. Now, again, Vern played there before. LB's played there before. It was my first time. Worthington is a really, really, really nice course and challenging, by the way.
Yes.
you've got to be able to make shots. You got to be able to put the ball like where you want it, and you've got to think your way through the course.
Yeah, I think at the end of the round, Claude and I were saying, it's like, you know, we always talk about that course where it's like, oh, if you've got somebody coming to town and they says they can play, where to take them, Worthington goes in that category of like monster, like, okay, come here.
Yeah.
I think it was there,
Little Bennett,
1757, which you got to get you out to. Yeah, if you think you can play, go to Worthington. We'll see what you're about.
And thinking that you can play. So, you know, the last time I played was a month ago in Maui. Shot a 83. Is that what I said?
Yeah,
you keep going down. 82. No, I said 82. Yeah, whatever number I made up. Whatever the scorecard said, giving myself a little bit of, you know, a mulligan here, there. But anyway, so do you want to know, LB, how I followed up around? Of 83 at Worthington Manor.
If I had to guess, I'm going to say 96.
Oh, that's being generous. So
that's where I ended up.
So I start the round +4, +4, +4.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh yeah, +4, +4, +4. Fo. That's how I started.
Three holes in, LB. Like on the text the night before, we were trying to like figure out where we were going to go. And I was kind of, I didn't say it, but apparently we were thinking the same thing where I'm like, well, he hasn't played in a month. Maybe we should just like hit up Falls Road or Laytonville or Needwood. And since he hadn't played Worthington, it's like made sense. It's like, let's go out to Worthington. And then, you know, three holes in, we're immediately maybe rethinking
like this probably should have been a Falls Road, right? Instead of a Worthington.
It's like, oh, I haven't played a month. I know where to go.
Exactly. I mean, but listen, I mean, the course is great. It know what I mean? It's in great shape. And again, we talk about this all the time. I get it. There's different, things you got to consider depending on where you are in the area. But there are courses out here who looks like they're just starting their season. You know, the fairways are great. Greens are great for those who care about tee boxes. The tee boxes were great. And I mean, and it's like, you know, Worthington, we get this from Worthington to Blue Mat. I mean, these courses keep their stuff together. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if you're going to charge that type of money, renditions, then you need to make sure that your course fits the bill.
Yeah.
And Worthington fits the bill. Now, I remember we had this kind of debate with whether we thought Worthington was one and,
Whiskey Creek,
like what would be one or two between the two of them.
Yeah.
I think Vern and I agreed that you're basically splitting hairs. It depends on what you like better. I mean, Worthington kind of plays.
I don't agree with that at all.
Plays. Oh, really? So before you say anything, here's what I think. I think from just an aesthetic standpoint, from just the way the course looks, Whiskey Creek has Worthington beat. From the way it looks. Now, from a golf standpoint, and which is the tougher course or more challenging course, Worthington's way more challenging.
Yeah. LB. So here's what I'll say. Really quick, since you and I played there last time, it. Having gone there again, I did sort of reverse my back. I was like, ooh, I don't know. Because, like, again, those first, like, five or six, picturesque, beautiful. And, again, the whole course is beautiful. But I could see where I was like, man, you know, maybe I need to go back to Whiskey again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I do think Whiskey might have them in the beauty category, I think. You know, and Worthington is definitely the hardest course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to say?
I think in the beauty category, Whiskey Creek is hands down a winner over any of those courses up in that area.
Okay. Musket's close though, right?
Again?
I said Musket would be close though, right?
See, Musket reminds me of Worthington. I feel like Musket and Worthington
are close.
They're pretty much the same. Right,
so we give the looks title to Whiskey Creek. Okay.
Yes. Absolutely. And Clubhouse and that kind of stuff. If you care about the restaurants and Clubhouse and all that stuff, then that also goes to Whiskey Creek.
Yes.
Right. Because you basically...
Yeah, I think it's nice.
Yeah, it's like the old Carr's Creek, basically, with Worthington. But yeah, my score, I basically shot a 100, like right on the nose. I mean, I was 53 on the front nine. Okay. Yeah, it was totally ridiculous. And I'm trying to think, was there any part of my... I think after... Towards the back... I mean, the back nine, I shot a 47, so I took shape late, but I can't think of one part of the game I was particularly proud of.
Your pro shots towards the end row.
Yeah.
Those coming into the green. And then I was just kind of like all over the place up the tee box or whatever. I had a 96 or whatever.
I was shocked by that 96 because you played. From my vantage point,
right,
which was usually in the woods or somewhere near water. It looked as if you played a lot better than a 96.
So what's been the case lately for my game is when it's on, like I'll do this thing where I get like two or three pars and then three triples. So instead of like, you know, my misses being like a bogey or maybe the occasional double bogey, they're too high right now. So,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But again, Worthington Manor, I think you can't go wrong. You know, if you want to get around out there, take your buddies or if somebody's coming from out of town. Yeah. Take them to Worthington, man. You know, you're going to get a great round. And if it's the weekend prime time, you'll pay a little bit, but
right.
You won't be disappointed. No. Like you won't go out there and you won't feel cheated by anything. And if you want a challenge, we played from the gold tees, which played 58 and some change.
Yeah. 58 maybe. Yep.
And you know, we talked about this LB, you know, we could have played from the whites, which was a little over 6,000. I would have shot 100 one way. Literally no difference in a lot of this. And we go back and forth like, oh, I don't know, 57, I don't know, 61, maybe we should play back. It's like, you know what? Again, it's a different shade of miles and miles to go.
I feel like that we'll know. The day when we're too close, we'll know. When we go, you know,
right,
when we go
right
up to gold and we both drop, you know, 79 or something.
Okay,
Maybe it's
time to move back.
Maybe we can go back or whatever. Hey, and don't forget GPS on the cart too.
GPS on the cart. Yep. It was great. So I'm sitting here looking at our show rundown. Someone just added, I broke the windshield on the golf cart. Was that you, LB, who added that?
Yeah, I forgot the story from this. Actually, I did it like an hour ago.
So this is recent. Okay. So how did you break the windshield on the golf cart?
So I've had the windshield up the entire time since we've been here, except for yesterday was really hot. So I put it down. And, you know, I know everybody has done this where, you know, you get hot or whatever, you just drop it. You know, you still drive. You don't stop like you're supposed to. And you, you know, undo the corners and you just let it flop down.
Right.
Correct? We've all have done that.
Yeah, I've done it. Right? Yeah, no problem. It seemed like a complicated move.
Right. So this morning I was going to the range And it was still a little cool here. So I had a lot of wind in my face because it was still down. So I said, oh, let me put it up. Right. And then the one corner of it had like it had been previously broken, but it had been repaired with some super duper epoxy or something. It was, you know, pretty, it was stable, sturdy on the right corner of it. So I'm driving this morning. And I was like, oh, let me put the windshield up. And they got a sign on it that says, raise or lower the windshield while you're moving. Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess just trying to give you a warning. Don't move the windshield while you're moving.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I did it while I was moving. And, so when the wind caught it push it up, yeah, the other corner, like a big, if I had to break it down, probably not a quarter of it, but yeah, maybe a quarter of the one of the left corner now was broke as well. So
oh, no.
not sure if I'm going to report myself. Am I going to self-report?
You should.
I'm going to go to Home Depot and get me some super glue and some tape and fix it.
That's a pretty big day for retirement life. Got to go to Home Depot, get some super glue to repair my golf cart window that I broke this morning headed to the driving range. That's a pretty big day for a retired guy.
Get dressed and go into town.
Right, that's gonna eat into my happy hour time.
There we go. More news from the PGA Tour. LB, you've been just, fascinated by this Phil Mickelson going after Bryson DeChambeau. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was on the one thing we follow on our Instagram. I think it's Dire Golf. I'll give them credit for it. So remember last week, a week before last, we talked about Bryson DeChambeau, who was going into the gym and talking about how he's going to look much different when we see him in a few months on tour, because he's going to work out and he's going to do all this crazy stuff and get his body in shape. So Phil went at him, and this is what Phil posted on, I think he tweeted this or he put it on Instagram, one of the two. I saw it on Instagram. And it says, Nick Faldo, although he was one of the greatest to ever play, had a massive upper body, but did not hit bombs. Why? Because he neglected his calves. He says, you may want to refocus a bit, or you will be hitting first into greens every time we play. Just saying.
Yeah.
Hashtag calves of Adonis.
Oh, goodness. Phil has really reinvented himself to be like kind of a, you know, fan favorite, from social media stuff.
Yeah. For those out in the context of what Bryson, did you see what Bryson DeChambeau posted, LB, the original post?
Well, I saw the picture of him in the gym.
Yeah. So on, I think on his IG maybe, or maybe Twitter, there's a video of him like in the gym lifting, and it's just the saddest. I mean, they must be like 15 pound weight. I'm looking at it now and it's like, what are we doing, DeChambeau? You know, I get that you stepped to Brooks and it changed your life one time. And now you're trying to,
I'm going to look different.
Yeah. You're trying to reinvent yourself big. Ever since. Just be yourself, homie. I mean, this is a bad look for you.
Yeah. Right. Just go back to the chemistry lab, man, and do some other kind of stuff. Do the stuff you like to do.
Yeah, get your protractor.
Exactly. You know, one story we've been following too is that, guy on the Korean tour who was suspended for 3 years for basically doing nothing.
Yeah.
Just getting a little upset. I mean, he did less than the guy you play with, LB, at the Villages, the one who was, getting all upset about, but the original suspension was for 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. And, it was reduced to just 1 year. So good for him. I think his name's Bo Kim, something like that. Yeah. Bo Kim.
Yeah.
His suspension on the Korean tour reduced, from 3 years to just one. And I think even 1 year is probably a little ridiculous. Yeah, you know, like maybe a monetary fine or maybe an event, but to get upset to suspend a player for a year or any amount of time because he got upset on a course and, you know, at a fan and gave him the old TK salute or whatever, like, okay, I get that. You don't want that to be, you know, the face of your tour, but he's the money winner on tour. From all intent and purposes, he seems to be successful on that tour.
Right.
You know, what are you doing? You know, yeah. And then he apologizes. You know, I mean, we talked about this. I mean, literally bowing.
Right.
You know, asking for an apology. Yeah.
No, he didn't bow. He got there on his knees.
Yeah. He really prostrated on it. It's what, could you imagine, like, if they're, you know, I don't, it's just, it does seem unreasonable. Like, especially for, in this day and age, for her, you know, how polarizing everybody, how angry everybody is. Mm-hmm. You carry a lot of resentment. Could you imagine this, like, in, I don't know, in traffic or something? Like, had a traffic incident, and you yelled at somebody out the window, and then, oh, the cops got you. You're suspended. You can't drive for a year now.
Right.
That's it. It's ridiculous. That's too much.
It's so stupid. Yeah.
He can't play till 2020. But one of the things, too, they said that he's looking for, you know, what he's going to do now until 2020 when he can play again, till October of 2020. Hmm. So he's looking to, he might come to the U.S. and try and get on the Corn Ferry Tour.
I was just going to say, he should just take his ass to U school, man.
Yeah, exactly. School, exactly. He should just get out of there. Because, yep. Look, if they're doing all that, that's you don't want to play on that tour. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So the Zozo Championships in Japan, Tiger Woods in the lead after the first round. Like, do we look too much into this and think that, oh, this wraparound season, because this is the wraparound season, so it's kind of the start of the 2020 season for these guys. Like, do we think 2020 is going to be super productive for Tiger, or am I reading in a little bit too much on this?
No.
No, it's not going to be productive for Tiger.
I mean, look, man, I expect him to randomly pop up on a leaderboard here or there. You know, congrats to him for, you know, starting off well at Zozo. For those who don't know, also, I think it's been delayed till Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. If you go check out Ian Poulter's Instagram, I'm just an Instagram guy today, social media guy. If you go check out Ian Poulter's Instagram, there's a video of the monsoon they got. They dropped like 6 inches of rain, so they had to suspend play or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're not as tough as the kids in Colorado who played in the snow that we talked about last week. But I expect him to sort of sporadically pop up here and there, but I just can't believe, I haven't seen the consistent, even after he won the Masters, Claude, I thought maybe this is the time. Mm-hmm. He's kind of fell off.
Just fell off.
Yeah, so.
LB, what do you think? Does this mean anything for Tiger in a big picture?
No, talk to me at the fourth round and see where he's at then. Because Tiger's just had this. I mean, he's been doing this for a while since in his latest comeback where, like you said, he'll pop up here. You know, he'll have a good first. Well, he normally doesn't have good first round. He normally has pretty good second or third rounds. But then the other ones are regular, you know, regular rounds where he's not really putting up any numbers. So, I'll wait and see, as we all will. But I don't have any faith in him to make this to be. He's not going to be as dominant as he used to be. That we all know that's not going to happen. But I do expect him to win maybe once a year, once a season or something like that. And I do expect him to win when the fields are reduced like this one is. There's not as many guys he has to beat. Then I do expect him to be at least, you know, better than average, because he just doesn't have to beat as many people. You know?
Right, right. And in that top, like 10 or 12, all tied for 7-2, we got, you know, Schauffele. Decent field here for the first PGA Tour in Japan, yeah. I think, in a long time. Xander Schauffele, Gary Woodland, in, I think, second Beacon place. Yeah, yeah, Paul Casey in there. So, yeah, it's mm-hmm. a decent little field here.
Talk about a small field. Did you guys check that Skins game he had with Jason Day, McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, and Tiger? At that same course?
I did not.
So apparently Jason Day won. I don't remember how much he won. And Tiger won maybe close to 80,000.
Rory was last.
Like 60. No, Hideki was last, actually. Oh, with 20. Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny because I was like, you know, you hear about these Skins matches and different money games. And we probably talked about this before. LB, you're the one. You don't really like money games when it comes to golf, right?
No, you mean like for me betting? No, I do not.
Oh man, I do. You got to get into it, man. Put a little stakes in it. Put a little action on there.
It takes. I mean, I'm already stressed out with just my score. Imagine putting some money on it, man. I'll be throwing clubs and when you're not looking. And
what if the money was low? Like, you just had a foursome and everyone just put up a dollar a hole, and there was no carryover. Every hole you win that hole, you get the dollar from every
$20.
That's basically. Literally, yeah, a little less than $20.
But just still, but again, what was supposed to be fun now has now become a competitive event, and that changes. We can be for a dollar, it doesn't matter. I still, now I need to win. So now I might be reduced to cheating. You know what I mean?
Now I might be reduced to cheating.
Man, I thought it was going to help you the other way, where it's going to like raise, you know, make you raise your game and increase your focus. But no, yeah, he just went completely opposite.
Like, no, because I'm going to cheat.
Yeah, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to be cantankerous.
I don't like to lose, man.
I know.
No, there we go. All right, there you go. So listen, coming. So it, at the time we're recording this Find Radio show and podcast, it is October 25th. It's fall. November's coming up. Fall golf in the DMV is great, especially if you go up towards the mountains and play there. But it's also a time to kind of refocus your game. So, LB, we'll do a kind of a 2019 wrap up later. But heading into the fall and winter, what's your plan? Do you have a plan as far as what to work on, how you're going to work on it? Then we'll go to you, Vern, and then I'll check in.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to work on the lessons that Brendan gave me. I guess it's been 3 weeks ago now, maybe a month. I don't know.
Oh, well, I just got a text message from Paul Wilson. He said, who's no, go ahead, right?
the stuff that he gave me seems to be working. So I'm going to keep working on that. Even in the house, you know, I'm going to keep swinging. And I mean, I've got a trip coming up next 2 weeks away. Then I got another trip coming up in, December. So I'm going to be playing golf, at least through the new year. Then I don't know what I'm going to do in January. I have to find me somewhere to go in January and February and play. But, I plan on staying active. I'm trying to keep making progress instead that way.
Okay. Okay.
So for me, I'm going to keep on working on what I worked on with Garrett, which is just rotation, man. Just getting that rotation down so I can get that, get that nice crisp pro style impact, which I think I did it by accident at Pendleton 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I had a beautiful pitching wedge. I think I did it, you know, the sound the pros make. Mm-hmm. I made that sound.
Nice.
I was like, whoa, what is that? And I didn't make it again for the rest of the round. But so I'm going to keep working on rotation. Lots of dry swinging in the house, Claude. I don't want to let it fall off so I can come mm-hmm. to next season really hot. And putting. I'm going to buy one of these like putt pro, like one of those, the little putting mats you might see if you go into Dick's or Golf Galaxy where they have them set up.
Right.
Like they sell those to consumers too. And they they like roll really true or whatever. Because I think the putting has really helped me this season too. Like my putting has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, so that's what I got to do. I think what I'm going to do is, and we talked about this when we played at Worthington. There's no reason ever like to just not chip and putt in the house. Like I got all these baskets and mats and I don't use it. Like what I need to do going into the fall and winter is spend time every day chipping and putting. Send us your thoughts on the 2019 headed to the fall into 2020. How you want to improve? GolfDMVPodcast@gmail.com is the email. We'll talk next week.